Welcome to the Bike Talk with Dave podcast. I'm your host, Dave Mabel. Thanks for tuning in to episode number, unbelievably, 140. This week, we're going back to Gravel Worlds. Not to hear race highlights or the story of a big victory by gravel national champion Lauren Stevens or Norwegian Simon Svendsen. This isn't even a story about the marquee 150-mile race. But this week, we're talking with a couple of guys who did the Privateer 75-miler. And did they win? Nope. 19th and 20th overall. But this is a story of friendship, of hard work, and overcoming adversity. It's also a story about how cool our sport is and how cycling can help nurture unique relationships that span generations. Today we're talking with Teddy Longnecker and Jackson Webster, just a couple of guys who've become friends thanks to the sport of cycling, and they decided to travel to Lincoln, Nebraska to race the Gravel Seas at the 2024 Garmin Gravel Worlds. And with that, I'm gonna shut up and let Teddy and Jackson tell you the rest of the story. Hey guys, welcome to Bike Talk with Dave. What a treat to have you both on. And I'll just introduce you because nobody's looking at this because it is not video, it is a podcast. So across from me is Ted Longnecker, whom I will refer to as Teddy. And to my right is Jackson Webster, whom I will refer to as Jackson, I think appropriately.
Love it.
Yep. And okay, so I don't know, you may not have heard of these two guys, but they've got a great story from Gravel Worlds, and it is the Gravel Worlds post-ride recap podcast recap. I do want to thank Gravel Worlds for supporting Bike Talk with Dave. We did a little discount thing. Did you guys sign up with the discount?
Teddy called me last minute to sign up, so I didn't know about the discount.
No, nope. All right. Fair enough.
Last minute sign up.
Next year, 10% off. If we do it again, Jason, did you hear that, Jason? 10% off Bike Talk. I think it was just Bike Talk with Dave was the
code.
I
wish you would have known that.
Nice.
Anyway.
Bike Talk with Dave. You credit us that amount?
I don't know. I'll ask. All right, so we're talking Gravel Worlds, and we're not even talking the long one, but we are talking the big one, because the 75-miler is the most ridden out of all of their events. And last week we heard from Chris Melman, who did the freaking Long Voyage 300-miler, which is crazy.
Wow.
So
wow.
We're just skipping the Buck 50. You can read about that online at Velo or whatever, but actually we're going to talk about the 150 a little bit. And I am working on Eno Zavulov, and I think he was eighth, and Drew Dillman. So we're going to have some conversations about the 150.
Yeah.
Anyway, today's about the 75. And why are we talking to you two guys? Because you're cool. Teddy's like, I don't know.
Top 20, 19th to 20th.
Top 20. Yeah,
we're going to call this the bottom. A tie. This is
because we've got a great tie. Story of friendship, of, I think, and I'm going to bring it up, generational. We've got a difference in generation, like exactly. Jackson, how old's your dad?
My dad is 55.
I just turned 56.
So you're older than Jackson's dad, which I love. Jackson, you are...
I used to coach soccer with Jackson's dad.
No way. That's
how
awesome.
Real this is.
That's awesome. Seriously?
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, wow. Our daughters.
Is that why you're such good friends?
I think we found out about that like
a year in.
I said, Webster, are you related to this Webster? And he's like, that's my dad.
No way. That's crazy. Yes. That's awesome. How old's your sister?
She is 24.
She's a little younger than you?
Yeah. I'm the oldest. Yeah.
So you coached
Jackson's sister with his dad. Our daughter was on that team.
Literally generational difference between you two, which I think is super cool. And then, of course, Dee set this up. She's like, you have to talk to Jackson and Teddy about their day. Yep, I do, because you guys had a great day. So I don't really even know where to begin other than, like, Teddy, how was your day?
You know, I just look at it. We had so much fun. The opportunity for fun was there. Literally less than 2 weeks ahead, I decided the schedule allowed me to do this, the family schedule. So the first thing I thought of, call my 27-year-old friend Jackson. Hey, can you, you know, would you be in on this? Kind of do it a little bit badass. Go in, drive in at 3 a.m.
Oh, go. You didn't stay overnight.
We were thinking about that. But then, so we came up with a plan. He and his wife have some good friends in Lincoln.
Oh, you had a great trip to Lincoln.
So he had a nice family trip, brought their lovely daughter and everything. And I knew Sean O'Brien was doing it. But we were all going to connect at this 75-miler together. And then we knew Austin Boaz was doing it. So we had our little Des Moines contingent. So how was the day? Starting with the excitement of everything the day before, the 300-milers leaving.
Were you guys there for that?
Yeah. Yes. And just putting that in my mind that those people are going out on a 300-mile journey was a little overwhelming, and it just kind of tapered my 75-mile attempt. So it took a lot of the pressure off. So 300-mile leaves, and then that morning at 6 a.m., Marissa Boaz leaves at 6 a.m. for the 150-miler, Jake Johnson, others I'm sure that you'll talk to, or those kind of things. So we get started at 7, and Jackson, Austin, myself.
Jeff and Brooks were there too.
Mark, Jeff and Brooke, and his wife, I can't think of her.
Lisa Carpinelli.
Lisa Carpinelli.
I think Lisa Jeff and Brooke.
We're Lisa.
Known as Lisa Carpinelli. She's on the news.
Yeah.
Exactly. Very famous couple.
Yeah. You know who else was there? Did you know Floyd Landis was in your race?
Are you kidding?
I had no idea.
Not kidding. Yep.
No.
He did tandem.
Don't tell Lance.
Lance wasn't there. He did tandem with, I think, a friend, and they were registered for the 150, and the week before the race, people were given permission to drop down to
because of the heat.
The 75-miler. And I was kind of I bet, like, if Dee and I sign up, Landis will drop down. And sure enough, he did. Anyway,
that's
so
wild.
Floyd Landis.
To 50 miles?
Or no, he did 75.
He did 75. Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So you guys raced Floyd Landis. You beat him, too.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. But
did we?
I think a while. Yeah. What was your time?
3:55.
Yeah.
We pretty much tied across the finish line. 3:55.
I don't think a tandem finished in front of us. We would have known.
No, he didn't finish in front. I think I saw 5 hours.
Yeah.
For he and his partner. Yeah.
Because what
Jeff and Broken Carp finish?
Oh,
I don't know the
answer. 4:30.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Wow.
I wouldn't have wanted to ride tandem in that sand.
Managing the sand in that tandem.
Yeah. What's it like when Dee and I did it last year? It was wet, so it was either soft or after a couple hours, it got the hard pack that rain.
Yeah.
What was it like this year? Because it was dry.
Go ahead.
Jackson, go ahead.
I experienced the sand a little bit more than Teddy did. I feel like we're spoiled here in Iowa with Madison County. And it's basically road conditions in Madison County. So when that's the only gravel you ride, you're kind of thrown off when it's loose.
Because Madison County is like limestone that welds together after it rains and is driven on.
I think our marquee gravel event earlier this year, 100K, I'm pretty sure the winner averaged 22 or 23 miles an hour. I mean, basically riding a road bike.
Yeah.
But, the conditions weren't, because of how much we're spoiled here, I would say the conditions were poor. Now, if you're from Nebraska, would you say the conditions were poor? Probably not. You would have been like, it was a great day. Just very, very different gravel than here. Sandy, loose corners. Every single corner you have to pay extreme attention to the line you take. Otherwise, you'll end up on the ground like I did. Only once for me, and I know other people were less fortunate, but yeah, it was, I mean, other than that, the weather was good. We started early, so it was not hot. It got to, I think, 80 degrees by the end of our race.
Yeah, we were done.
The 150ers were much, and much worse.
You guys were still done in the morning.
Yeah, we were done by
10:55,
yeah.
Right before 11.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome.
It was just starting to heat up.
Yeah. So, Jackson, what happened? Were you riding together in the beginning?
It was kind of strange. I've been in a decent amount of gravel races around here, and it usually splits up very quickly. At the first hill, at the first steep climb, it'll split up into, you know, groups, pelotons of 15 to 20 max. And we had, 40 to 50 people together until mile 63. We had about 40 or 50 people together. And mile 30, where Teddy and I are riding next to each other. I see Boaz in front of us. And we're just all kind of trading. Nobody really wanted to attack because whenever there's attacks, get brought back really easily. So we were with each other in mile 30, going downhill to a right turn. And I was on the front at the time.
Of the whole race?
Of the whole,
75, yeah.
Of the peloton, we weren't going horribly fast.
Still, I'm not on the front.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's impressive. That's a big race.
Yeah, I mean, we were excited to be with that group of people. I think there's a few pros that were racing with us. The guy who won was a pro.
Jake.
I know that.
Yep, Jake McGee, married to Hannah Shell. Jake is a veteran of the podcast. The podcast.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yep. Awesome. You could tell when you looked at him, I didn't know who he was beforehand, but you could tell he's a pro. He had his last name on his kit.
Oh, right.
The whole nine yards.
Nice.
But anyways, just went into a right-hand turn and it was downhill. And I took a tight corner, but just went too wide and tried to come back to the center and it was off camber and bike just slipped underneath me, money side down. And that's kind of where the adversity that we talked about or that you had mentioned earlier. That's where it started, at least for me. Had to stand up, see if my bike worked. It did work, praise the Lord. I mean,
because there's a right-hand turn, and you said money side down.
I had a race earlier this year where I went money side down, and my bike did not work. So I was worried about being in the middle of Nebraska,
not close
to home. You know, my wife doesn't know where I'm at. Being able to get help. But bike worked, no shifting issues. So I got back up and the chase was on from there.
How much time do you think you lost?
I was probably on the ground for 15 seconds, assessing the damage. And the downside was it was at the bottom of a hill. Probably one of the more significant hills on the first half of the course. And so chasing on, while it may have been only, you know, a minute behind, it was a lot more difficult to sprint right from the start to catch up to peloton from behind.
You were at mile 30-ish, so you had 45 miles to
Well, it was technically a 78-mile race, so it was
78,
more like,
okay, you had 38 miles to...
Yeah.
Teddy, did you see him go down? Were you aware?
I did not see him go down. I was so focused on my line, I was out right of... Somebody had gone down. I was out right of everything, and then I literally was probably 20 yards past the wipeout, and I look back and I see Jackson dusting himself off and getting up like a champ, and I'm like, it looks pretty good.
He's alive.
But I mean, he's getting up and he grabs his bike and he just looked a little bit frustrated, and I don't think I intentionally soft pedaled, but I was, and I should have probably gone back. I should have probably, you know, looped around and gone back. But I looked back one more time, and he's getting on his bike that quick. And I thought, what the heck, you know, he's going to go. We're going to keep moving forward. But, I just kept pedaling. I started losing started getting off the back of the front group. And I'm like, I'm riding alone. It's happening. You know, it's mile 35 or 30.
On a hill?
On a hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just kept pedaling. I didn't know how Jackson was going to be pedaling and what have you, but literally a couple minutes, 3 minutes in, hear this guy go, "Let's go, Teddy."
Stop it. 3 minutes?
Maybe 3-4 minutes. It wasn't that long.
I went back and looked at the race. I don't remember what my power was for that 15 to 20 minute span. But I mean, you know how it is when you crash. You get
adrenaline
through
over.
The roof. You're pissed off that the front group, who you think you can stay with, is riding away from you. I knew Teddy was in front of me and wanted to catch him so we could ride together. And so I caught him.
So Jackson comes up from behind. Let's go, Teddy. And man, it was on. And I don't know. I mean, just the acceleration that Jackson's adrenaline or whatever it was just kind of motivated me. And I grabbed his wheel. I said, it's on. Let's go. We got to catch on. And they were up there a ways. I'm terrible at estimates, but I'm going to say well over 100 yards.
Oh, yeah.
And you could see the cloud of smoke. You're chasing.
It's like, yeah. It's over.
We could see them. Yeah. We could see them, but it was, they weren't going slow.
Right, right.
By any stretch of the imagination. And Teddy called this out. I don't remember because my mind is kind of blacked out from anybody else other than the two of us. But we apparently picked up a few people on our train to catch up who had gotten popped off.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there was a certain point I remember very vividly thinking, I'm pushing as hard as I can. I've gotten as close as we can. And then Teddy pulls around and you do it, you know, a solid 4 or 5 minute effort, get us even closer. And so it was, you know, Teddy and I aren't on the same race team here in Des Moines. He's on DeNovo. I'm on Zealous Racing. And we had this, you know, unspoken arrangement at the beginning. We didn't say anything to each other, but we knew that we'd race for each other if we could. And it was one of those moments that you watch in the Tour or the Volta and you see the, you know, you see the teammates getting called back to help a teammate pull back in, and that's exactly what happened with the both of us. We didn't want to give up, and we helped. If it wasn't for Teddy and vice versa, then we wouldn't have caught back up to lead group. But we did.
It was like
cool. Wow. Pretty epic.
It's hard to describe, but the back and forth of two dudes working at this level, whether two dudes, two girls, six dudes and two girls, whatever, this was everything that I possibly had in my stomach. And like Jackson said, as soon as I ran out after 4 or 5 minutes, Jackson's going. And we knew the goal was to catch on. It wasn't to ride the race, the two of us together, the rest of the race. It was to catch on because we had at least 40 miles left. Mm-hmm. And then we picked up a couple others that they kind of wanted to draft off us for a little while. And then they kind of finally saw that we were emptying the tank to get this next group. And it was probably three back and forths with Jackson and I, and then two more folks caught on and took some pulls.
Oh, good.
And it was maybe one more pull, and then I just remember yelling, UPS delivery service, baby, because we caught on to the back, and Jackson just kept accelerating, but we're in the party. We're in the party of, I'm going to call it 30 people now. So we're in the party, and everybody's together. You know, those guys hadn't completely attacked and gone off, but they were a ways off. It was just so satisfying, and that was probably at mile 35 in that range, and we had a lot of work to do, but from there, from mile 35, second most satisfying part of the race was on a hill. So Jackson and I are rotating around in the front 15, let's just call it the front 15. Feeling very comfortable. We're very comfortable on hills, I think. And I just accelerated a little bit to take a pull. And next thing I know, I'm off the front of the lead group.
Good 30, 40 yards.
56-year-old dude. I love this.
I almost took my phone out to take a picture of it. I wish I would have.
Austin Boas says he was, after the race, he was laughing. He's like, I'm looking around, kind of assessing the group. And he's like, Teddy's up off the front on this hill. And I wasn't intending to be. And so next thing I know, Jackson's at my left, and we're at the top, we're at the front of this group at mile, I'm going to call it 55. So this was 20 miles later, and we still felt pretty fresh at 55. 100K race, pretty good, right?
But now
we're talking 78 miles. Let's just see how much is left, take take it from there, buddy. After 55.
Well, there's few moments before that I want to talk about too. There's a section you've done Gravel Worlds. How many times, Dave?
Just once.
Just once.
And honestly, I don't. D's like, it was really pretty. And I was like, I didn't see anything but the line in front of our tire. Like, all I did was, it was so wet.
Well, she has
soft.
To do is pedal, right? When she's on tandem.
To manage a tandem is, I can't imagine that. That's so
A, I don't want to kill D. And yeah. B, like, that's my only job is to steer. Her job right. is to power.
Yep.
I'm kind of kidding because I feel like I do carry a little bit of my own weight, but definitely D's 75% of the power. But so I didn't look around at all anywhere.
Did they have the little cyclocross section last year?
I don't remember a cyclocross section.
Okay. Oh. Well, there's a – so I had no idea.
Oh, through a farm?
Yeah.
Is that where the aid station was?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had no idea. None of us really had any clue this was coming.
Is it different than in previous years?
I'm sure it was this. I've only done this is my first time, so okay. I can't speak to it.
First one for me, too.
I think it was very similar.
They get your timing chip for a status in the race, so you're.
But it's a decent little off-road section. None of us really in the front group had any clue it was coming. All of a sudden, we're flying down a hill. There's a guy standing in the middle of the road that I don't see, pointing, turn right into this farm grassland. And I saw my life flash before my eyes again. This is, only 15 miles after my first crash. And I'm riding Austin Boaz's wheel, and I almost took him out. We're both riding the same tires, by the way, at Gravel Worlds. We were riding Rene Hurst 44s, slicks, so absolutely no traction. They're great tires. They do really well. Not in sand. They don't do well in sand.
Right.
And I experienced that. But we're both riding that. We both had to slam our brakes. We, fishtailed a little bit. Luckily, we both do cyclocross quite a bit, so we were able to stay up. But the cyclocross station was really fun. I would say that was the first time that front group kind of broke up a little bit, and we had to chase some leaders. Hmm. There's this 15-year-old kid. His name is Mason Wilson. Have you heard about him?
Hmm.
15, he almost beat me at Iowa State Cyclocross in 4-5 last year.
Wow.
I was really ticked off. There's this 115-pound 14-year-old kid chasing me. And I beat him in a sprint. I was pretty proud of myself beating a 14-year-old.
Well, I'm also thinking about the weight, because each of your legs is
115 pounds. Exactly. But he's really good at cross. And he got through that section first and attacked. And he was off the front for probably 20, 25 minutes with another guy.
Oh, wow.
But he's an incredible rider. He just got 10th in his age group at Nationals, 10th at Core 4 overall.
Oh, I met him. Yep.
Yeah, little tiny guy.
Yep.
He's a little bit bigger. He's probably 125 pounds now.
Might be.
But, yeah, it was that part was really cool. I wish we should add more of that into our local races. But
a cross-section?
A cross-section.
Oh, brutal.
I know that doesn't sing to your soul, Teddy, but it sings to... Sings to gotcha. Cyclocross guys. I know it sings yours.
Yeah, I love cross for sure. For sure.
But yeah, it was.
So you made the corner okay?
Did you guys do all right? I don't think there's a crash. I think I was the only crash that I know of in the lead group.
Yeah, I didn't see.
But it was together until about 60 miles. That's when the peloton of 30-ish broke up.
Yep.
I think that's when McGee, what's his first name?
Jake.
That's when Jake attacked. He'd kind of been waiting the whole race, hadn't really done any attacks, and that's when he started his...
Did he put the work in beforehand? Was he
driving
at all?
I mean, you know how pros race.
So no.
Not really.
Calling you out, Jake. I know his wife's mom listens to this podcast, so we're calling Jake out right here now.
I hope you don't get an email about this, or I get a comment on my
show. No, you're fine.
I will say, I think when I was off the front, everybody got their food bags out.
Yeah. I was good at the time.
You were, yes. Yeah. They're like, we're safe.
Yeah.
That guy up there, we're good.
But so that's when it broke up, and I don't know how the rest of the race played out with the front. But
so is it just you two?
No, I think that I was in a small group, and then I couldn't hold on to their wheels, and then you came up behind me. And then we rode with each other for a while. And then, we had different people attach on, latch off. And, Teddy will tell you about the last 8 to 10 miles with one guy in particular. But, yeah, it was, at that point, it kind of turned into one of those typical gravel races where you finish with three people in
the
sight.
Group you finish with. Yep. Yeah. The group you ride with.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Instead of it being with a Peloton. So that's why I thought earlier when I said it was a little strange to be with a group that big for that long.
Right.
That's never happened for me in a gravel race.
And it's not flat. Like, Gravel World is not
flat. It's very rolly.
It's rolling the whole way.
Yeah.
Up and down the teeth of a saw.
Yep. I wouldn't say that the hills are as steep as what I'm used to around here. I think that, you know, I think about the Serum Hills. Those, you know, those will kick you in the pants repeatedly over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, your momentum gets you up and over most of them, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, two to three pedal strokes.
Yep.
And you're up over the top. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what it felt like, at least.
I think the route was new this year. This is the first time I've ever done it, but the start at the Global Center, finish was a little bit to be desired. The start at the Global Center gave you a lot of fun and a lot of, you know, consolidation of the events and everything. But so we're at mile 63 maybe, and we're both tired. We're kind of tired. We're kind of tired.
Weird.
And we're
well, can you imagine?
Well,
the exact distance of 100K, by the way.
Yeah,
that's the length that every gravel race should be, in my opinion.
Right, right. I'm with you. I hear you. That's like a fun day.
Exactly. 100K
race is a
fun day.
You're
like, I could be finished right now.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, 15 more miles.
So we, you know, our legs are a little heavy, but there were a couple latcher on her for a little bit. But you know, they're just doing what they can do. But
it's survival.
It ends up Jackson and I.
It's survival.
Exactly. Jackson and I are back and forth pulling. And it turns out Poland, I'm sure he's a really nice guy and so forth, but he was like, you guys are saving me and everything, you know, so hopefully this doesn't go to him, but it, you know, you guys are saving me and everything. We're just trying to keep the motion going forward, right? Keep the speed up, and we weren't getting the work. So, you know, shame on us for not strategizing, just using up some energy and getting away. And then Jackson and I can just, you know, go back and forth. But we did end up catching three and four and five people that were off the back of the front. Mm-hmm. And so that was satisfying. Caught them, and they were not going to stay with us.
Sure.
They bonked hard. But our guy stayed with us because he had a draft, and that worked out pretty well. And then, you know, we got down the last 5 miles, and we're still kind of doing all the pulls, and I'm not going to get back and forth and so forth. But he sprints us in the last
200 meters.
He
sprints on your wheel for like 12 miles and then sprints you?
Shame on us, right?
Well,
but he sprints
for 18th place.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. It was probably first in his age group.
But
might have been. He might have. Teddy was. Teddy was first in his age group.
So as Jackson and I come into the finishing portal, that leaves some stuff to be desired. It gets kind of skinny, and then it kind of pinches you in a little bit the last 200 yards, and you're not sure where the finish is. I thought the finish was at the bottom of the hill 300 yards prior, so I'd kind of gassed it to try to get this guy who was sprinting us, and I thought he was in the 50 plus. He looked like he could be 50. I didn't, you know, I thought all this work, may as well try for it. If I got it, I'm going to go for it. We go to the finish, and he sprints us. I try to chase to get that. Jackson and I finished together, and he got us by about a second, but he was 40. He's 40 years old, Dave, you know?
That's
so
awesome.
What in the world? We're not going to sprint for 18th. But
right.
Age groups,
I was going to try
for.
To get an age group. I was going to try to get an age group, and I did get 50 plus. I was fortunate because of Jackson and the work we did together. Don't think that would have been the same outcome over a long period of time like that. 30 miles by ourselves might have been different for both of us, but it was just so fun in that stretch to work together, and then to work together at the end, you know, when we didn't quite have it all.
Well, I love it. And I'm going to say, Teddy, like, I've known you for a long time, and all right, so my riding has gone a certain direction from my peak, right? Like, my peak is behind me of my riding and racing ability for sure. And you're not, I mean, you're 3 years younger than me. 3.5, almost 4. I would consider us in the same generation, right?
100%.
And I don't know, 5 years ago, maybe longer. I remember like, oh, Teddy showed up for a race. That's cool. Also ran. Teddy's an also ran. Like, I got Teddy. Like, Like, I'm never going to see Teddy at the front. Like,
yep.
I don't sure. have to worry about Teddy. I beat Teddy again. Yep. It's not even a conversation. It's just like sure. Teddy was there and
yeah.
I kicked his butt. Dude, you made a decision 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I don't know.
Probably
at some point.
Two and a half years. So this November, probably 3 years, when I started to work with a trainer.
Dude, you... With a coach. I mean, I'm not even close to your ability anymore. Like, you are so fast. You made the decision to make an effort to be the best version of yourself that you can be, if I can quote Matt Campbell, in your honor, Teddy.
Go Cyclones.
You guys, let's go you Cyclones. Guys.
He's trusted the Sorry, process, brother. Hasn't he?
He has until right now. Now he's like,
you guys are the best. Say anything. You're the best. Oh, my goodness. Trust the process. I love it.
What color pants do you have on there, Jackson?
They're cardinal.
They are cardinal.
They're cardinal for the Iowa State Cyclones.
And I have some gold on my shirt as well.
They look beautiful.
Yeah.
Nice job, guys.
In case you haven't figured out, we are post-Iowa, Iowa State football game. Who won, Jackson? I can't remember.
You know, I think it was your Iowa State Cyclones, Dave.
Let's go State.
Another Iowa State first down.
That's right. That's right.
Love it. Anyway, we're having fun at your expense, Teddy. But, dude, you are, like, I use my age all the time. Like, I'm old and fat mm-hmm. and slow and gray and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I can't use that excuse with Teddy around.
Yeah.
You are 27 times 2 is 54. You're more than twice Jackson's age. You're older than his dad. And you made a decision 2-3 years ago, whatever, to, like, be the best version of yourself that you could be. A, why'd you make that decision? And B, like, how the heck did you do it? Like, I think you're a great inspiration for old bald guys like me.
Hey, and I'm bald, too.
And you are an old bald guy.
It wasn't so much a decision. It was where our family lined up. Our daughter was full-time in college, and here she was entering her sophomore year after her freshman year of, you know, kind of COVID at University of Iowa and everything and that disruption. But it was her sophomore year, and she's our one and only, you know, and she's 22 now. But I really kind of, it was availability of time as a family. And I really never focused on my time available being towards cycling.
Because you're a busy coaching soccer?
I was trying to coach soccer, and his dad's a really smart soccer coach. I never played soccer. I played football and basketball, baseball, and things. He was a really good soccer coach, and I learned a lot from him. So he kind of became the head coach, which was really nice. But it was availability of family time to dedicate. And I used to love to golf, but that was probably not what I wanted to do. I wanted to try to get more fit. It's always different degrees of fitness, right? And I started working with Liz Van Howling as a coach. And she had worked with Daryl Trunnell and Andy McCoy and some folks. And I said, I'll give this a try. You know, I want to reach out to her. And actually, I've never worked with a coach one-on-one. Not having done, like, a lot of, you know, individual sports, you know, if you will.
Right.
Individual achievement right. sports, more team sports. And I really liked how, I mean, first and foremost, I had nagging injuries like hamstring and things like that, that just working with her to properly recover, is that the right term?
Mm-hmm.
Properly recover and let my body have a rest. I was like, my God, that hamstring thing after 6 weeks of working with Liz, that's gone. And now my left hamstring, so I just started to notice other, you know, benefits of not pushing the envelope every single ride and every single day. She had a plan to try to get me more fit, more cycling fitness. And so she also had weight workouts, things of that nature that she would send to me. And I really just appreciated that partnership. Her and Ryan were really big in the cycling community, I think, less than 10 years ago.
Yep.
Two young kids. And she is an extremely strong indoor racer.
For sure.
And
Worlds, she was on the pod.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What'd she get, like, fifth? at like the Zwift World Championships or whatever.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah.
It's amazing individual achievements too. And she finds time for kids and coaching. And so she's been the difference, quite frankly, and me doing what she tells me to do.
I was going to ask you about that. Is it hard for you to, like, you get a workout, like, here's your next week emailed to you. Is it hard for you to incorporate that into your life? Because, and I ask that because I want to ride, like, Monday was, like, the Monday night no-drop ride was a great conversational ride. I'd get 35 junk miles in and enjoy them. And then Tuesday was the Tuesday Night World Championships, and you'd go turn yourself inside out for as long as you can. Hopefully, I'd make it past Casey's, which I did twice this summer. And then I would ride home by myself.
I love it.
But I'm fine with that. Wednesday, show up for you, me, and get 35 good solid miles in. Yep. Thursday, I'd go rock climbing because it was a day to do something different for me.
Absolutely.
Friday, I would do you, me. Saturday, I would do the REI ride, and I'd have 50 good miles in. Sunday, Dee and I would take the tandem out or go do a fun urban loop and stop and have a beer along the right way. Like, we have our week.
Mm-hmm.
If I hired a coach, I'd be like, well, you're taking, you're screwing up my week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That being said, I'm fat and slow, so like, is there a trade-off? So how hard is it to incorporate a workout from Liz into your world, knowing that your world, you're on the REI ride, you're on the UME yep. ride, you're on the, like, you have your routine as well.
Yep.
So how hard is it to incorporate what Liz sends you into your life?
It was definitely a paradigm shift, but at the same time, I just communicated with Liz how important group rides were to the friendships that I've had for 20 plus years. Well, not 20 years, but since
you
I was
4. Had a friendship
since,
with Jackson
I don't have any
for
friends.
20 plus no. years.
No.
But he was 7 20 plus
been,
years
yeah.
ago.
That would have been weird, wouldn't it?
Yes. Me. I mean, maybe he was. He was coaching your sister, so.
Yeah, he
I don't know if he would have called me his friend, though.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. But since I was 40, so I'm 56 just now, so 16 years I've been in the cycling community in some way, shape. I just communicated to her how important those group rides were, and so we incorporated them in. So where I'm kind of landing now as I get ready for races and things, that, and more gravel grinder, I'll admit, races, that appeals to me. The scenario is it's more Wednesday and Friday group rides. That way I can see the 515 good friends and the UME friends both on the same ride if I do the double, Wednesdays and Fridays. And if I can do REI, awesome. But sometimes we reserve Saturday or Sunday, one of the 2 days. During football season, it's unfortunately Sunday afternoon, but because of college football.
Who'd you go see last weekend?
I went to the Iowa game. They played the Cardinal in gold. I always think it's red and gold.
That's right. You got to get it right.
But you guys wear black all the time, so I can't figure it out. Right. We're getting there.
You know, I have to insert. Black was actually one of Iowa State's original colors back in the 1800s. Did you know that?
See, you should just claim it.
I did. That's what I'm doing right now.
Marketing.
I just got to put it out there. Black was one of our original colors. So
I love it.
Yeah,
cheers
to that.
Cheers.
Cheers with
Sorry,
my empty glass.
Yours is empty. So it just works out.
Hmm. Liz, what about the lifting and stuff? Does that screw up your week?
Not at all. Because a lot of the lifting was in the winter. And flexibility is really important to Liz, too, to fire off the muscles that you use. I think I can say muscles. Or fire off the cardio and muscles that you need for biking to be strong. And crazy enough, I didn't need big discs of, 300 pounds of weights and,
right.
doing a lot of things. Just a lot of times using your body weight and 15, 20 pounds tops.
Huh.
Body weight and some of the angles you get your core in. She is really good at focusing on the entire person, if you will. So I don't want to get too focused on just biking. I didn't hear in your routine a rest day, Dave. I mean, are you serious? You're not doing a rest day during the week?
Thursday.
Or stretching?
Monday's a rest day.
Monday?
Thursday's a rest day.
Okay.
I mean, Sunday's
probably
a
not
fun
as active
ride.
active rest as Teddy's stretching. And
so I do a lot of active stretching. Like I literally bought a stretching table.
Oh, wow. And really?
Where I can get some angles of stretches that I just couldn't get on the floor or family room and those kind of things. So there's, and then I do go to a PT, probably preventative wise, where he can get what I call military grade stretches. I can get to retail grade, maybe a few commercial grade stretches, but he can literally get, I mean, it's hard to describe, but some of these stretching routines are probably the only reason why I've been able to hopefully stay healthy and going forward. So Liz has been a huge impetus to give that routine to me. And it's unique and different. And she's big on the mental side of cycling too. So at the end of the day, she'll help with race prep and some of those things. She knows the gig, right? She's been there, and she's one of the top. So yep. I feel like I've really got a gem in being able to work with her. And it really helps with family life too, because I can tell you, I spend zero time prepping my week of workouts. Liz and I communicate once a week, and she figures out a plan based on what I told her was coming up, what races are coming up, and those things. And it saves me a lot of time, family time, professional time. So I won't go on and on, but so I would say Liz and her skill set matching up really well with me just kind of being a nose to the grindstone. Hey, tell me what to do. Because at the end of the day, me trying to figure out and conflict, that's not productive. Mm-hmm. She got me out of a nagging hamstring just with 6 weeks of working with her without even telling her I had the hamstring injury.
Huh, and, it just went away.
It just went away because I was properly recovering. You know, today I did a 1 hour active recovery ride that was zone one. Just imagine how your legs would feel with that break. So tomorrow I'm counting on, you know, the legs coming back and feeling pretty good after a tougher Sunday. So I'm not getting any NIL money, and I'm not a pro. I joke with Jackson, I only do this for the NIL,
you know, right.
We joke around with each other
and a lot
of friends. Yeah. It's absolutely a blast though, when you can be more efficient with your spend on bikes. For instance, if you can just change tire pressure, instead of buying a whole new frame, I'm sorry, but I'm not in the business to get new frames every 2 years.
Yeah, neither am I.
I literally want to be smart about my purchases. And so if you can change your tire pressure and get 95% of the way there of what you want to do, if you want to do chunky gravel, let's bring the tire pressure down. Let's get a little bigger tire.
Yeah,
and let's figure out with the resources that you have what's smartest purchases.
Yeah.
So.
Huh. That's cool. That's interesting.
Long answer.
I think that's great for. I think it's a great lesson for like guys turn 50, and I've heard so many guys say like, "Oh, life like ended at 50," and I'm turning 60 in 2 months, 3 months, and I don't want to say that life is ending at 60. I want to be that guy who, like Kip, who's,
yeah.
I don't know, 65 or whatever, and still riding with the group and still driving the train. And
mm-hmm.
But it does take effort. And to freaking go from, you could have said, I want to be a good cyclist, and you could have gotten 238th at Gravel Worlds in the 75-miler and had a fun day and been content with it. But you're freaking riding with this dude over here who's literally half your age and is one of the strongest cyclists in central Iowa. Iowa? Yes.
I would limit it to Iowa.
No, well, yes, Iowa, but you did just wear a state championship jersey on Monday. So one of the strongest cyclists in Iowa, Jackson.
Congratulations.
But I love that.
In cross?
Yeah.
Was that cross? Was that a cross jersey? Yeah.
He didn't communicate.
Category 4 or 5.
He didn't communicate with his other dad.
But Jackson, I love that. Here's a dude twice your age, and you guys go on a trip together. What other sport can do that?
You know, it's hard to describe. the breadth of cycling and who it can bring together. It's I tell my friends frequently who are all my age about what I do on a weekly basis and who I'm spending my time with. And I refer to everybody as my friends. You know, I'm going to hang out with my friends or I ride with my friends. And, you know, I even a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have thought that most of my friends would be decades older than me, not years.
It hurts a little bit,
doesn't it? Feel, I love every birthday. I love it. I love it that I can be hanging out with these guys. Yeah,
100%
in this sport.
And I feel the same about everybody that I spend time around. It. I feel blessed to be able to spend time with people who have a lot more life experience than I do. Because as I go through stages of my life, I get to hear stories from people who are wiser than I am and have at least made the same mistakes that I'll probably make and can warn me of those mistakes. And so, you know, my wife and I had our first kid earlier this year, a little beautiful girl named Winslow. And just the
Winslow what?
Winslow Webster.
Winslow what Webster?
Wins Iowa State football games. Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, no, it's Sam's kid that has
that's Campbell.
An awesome...
Campbell D.
Campbell yeah. D, Campbell that's D. right. That's yeah. right. That's right. Isn't D your middle name?
D is my middle name.
Yeah, so D, you should remember that.
Yeah.
So Sammy named his daughter after you and D.
That's right, that's
which
right.
Which is awesome. All right, so back
but
to
anyway,
Winslow.
But anyway, it was fun to, you know, I do most group rides around here, including the...
You do.
Including the rides at the Butt Crack of Dawn at 515, which is, you know...
Even the butt crack, it's still the middle of the night.
Yeah, we finished before the butt crack.
Yes.
You know? But I just got to hear stories and pieces of advice and just reflections on life from people who are much older than I am. And I don't know, it's not something that you can put a price on. And I regardless of how fast I ever get or what my race results are, just the friendships that come multi-generational from this sport is unlike really anything else. And it's hard to describe to people who aren't in the community of cycling because they don't hang out with people who aren't similar to them in age or in similar, you know, interests. Yep. But cycling just brings anybody from anywhere together and you can make a friendship based on two wheels. And I absolutely love that about this sport. It's why I'm addicted to it.
Yeah.
That's why I can't get away.
Well, I'm here to warn you that you've got at least 30 years ahead of you. So,
yeah.
My brother-in-law asked me that question this weekend when I was at his house. He said, "So is this something that you think you'll do for the rest of his life?" And I didn't get to answer because my wife answered for me. She says, "Oh yeah, he's doing this for the rest of his life." But
yeah, that's awesome.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
I want to stay on this for a second, and then I want to ask you about something. Saturday, and I actually stayed with the kind of front group on Saturday the whole way, REI ride, and I was very excited about that because I'm old and fat and slow because I don't follow this
disclaimer
program.
Dave is not fat.
You're not fat.
He's fit.
You're not slow. You're
I'm hanging on for dear life.
You're Dave Mabel and you're the original cyclist.
That's right.
You're only 3-4 years older than me, but you've been around cycling since your 20s.
Oh,
since
30s. Yeah.
I mean, no, in the mix.
For sure.
Yeah.
I started racing when I was probably 20, so
over the top.
There you go. 30.
Tough 40 as nails.
Years. Holy smokes. Anyway, so I'm riding along with this kid and he had a little thing on his seat bag.
Oh yeah.
His little zipper thing and it said it's a red tag.
Yep.
And it said remove before flight. And two of my kids are aerospace engineers and they work at the rocket industry. And so I know that those tags are on rocket engines that are shipped to be launched. And those things, you have to remove those before flight. They are holding a pin in place. Mm-hmm. They are holding a hose in place. They're doing something, but they have to be removed before flight. And so I'm like, oh, dude, are you like aerospace engineer? Like, what do you do? Do you work with rockets? Do you whatever? He's 15.
Yeah,
he's still 15. In high school.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you don't even know what a rock, like.
Rafe.
Yep. Rafe, yeah. Yep. He's 15 years old. And we're riding along, having a great conversation, which was super fun. And how old are you? I'm 15. I was like, dude, you are literally, I'm literally four times older than you. And we're sitting here having a great conversation
right.
on the same group ride on the same day
yep.
as if we're friends. Like,
yeah,
I would, if he came in, I'd chat with him as if he were a friend. And I love that about cycling. I love yeah. that about this sport. And I love that you two, like, hey, let's go do Gravel Worlds next weekend. Okay, yeah. let's go. And we went, you go together, and then you ride together and finish together. Like, to yeah. me, that's a beautiful
pretty
story.
Special.
Yeah, I love it.
It is really special. And I thought of Jackson's spirit of adventure, too. He's also a young dad, and I don't want to disrupt the young family, but he's also a really mature 27-year-old. I mean, there's a lot of 27-year-old really nice people. I'm just saying his maturity level is pretty much like, he figured out a way within the family unit. He's like, let me check on this and get back to you. And literally within 3-4 hours, he and Peyton had it figured out that they were going to go to Worlds. They were going to go to Lincoln and visit their friends they had kind of maybe lost a little bit of touch with recently and bring their lovely child. And I already knew Sean was going. So Sean and I, we connected up, got separate hotel rooms in the hotel, and sure enough, you know, saw Jackson at the packet pickup. I mean, this stuff can come together so quickly, mm-hmm. and it was really low stress for me because I was going, I had a family conflict until a week and a half before Worlds. Same with Austin Boas. Austin Boas didn't sign up till a week and a half before. And I'm like, this is kind of cool. Low stress. I knew Liz was kind of...
We didn't train for it.
Keeping us fit. No.
Tapering for it by any means. Just kind of a see what you can do.
Let's go out there and do it. Yeah. And
it's cool.
I'm just very, very pleased to be able to do it on such short notice and that Jackson was in. His yeah. spirit of adventure. I was thinking, don't even stay overnight. Let's leave at 3 a.m., get to the starting line. And that was a little extreme for me. I'm not that guy, but
you get up at 4 a.m. every day.
I thought we could have pulled it off.
For sure you could have pulled it off. It's like getting up an hour early.
But yeah. you pull into Lincoln after the drive.
We maybe would have finished 21st and 22nd. If we did that.
Yeah,
right.
But we wouldn't have let that guy.
That's right.
You could have spent the drive strategizing. Okay, if somebody's sitting on our wheel with that's 2 miles to go, yeah. you go and then I'll go. So Jackson, you came into this sport as a different human. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your transition, if you would.
So I came in to the sport 3 years ago, so I've not been cycling for very long. I'm still in my very early years, in comparison to you two, at least. No offense.
I'm old.
I'm 16 years in.
But I was kind of like Teddy. I was very much a team sports guy. Football, soccer. I'm 5'7", so I'm not a good basketball player. But I loved physical sports. Was a lot bigger in high school, in college, and lifted weights all the time and never thought I'd run further than a mile in my life. And, you know, college, you know, they call it the freshman 25 when you go to college, right? And mine was the freshman 35. And I was already big. So got to a pretty unmanageable weight and decided I needed to do something to lose weight. So I got into running, which nobody, I mean, now that I ride bikes, I don't know why I ever started to run. But fell in love with running for a while and did that for, I started in 2017. So I ran for 5 years. Was becoming pretty obsessive with running. You know, I have to go on my 6 mile run. I have to do 13 this weekend. Lost a bunch of weight, started to become pretty obsessed with it, as athletes do. And one day my wife says to me, you need to do something to complement running. You need to stop being so obsessed with running and find something that'll...
You married a really smart woman?
I did. I married a very smart woman. She did not tell me to get into cycling, though. She just said, you need to find something. And I was, you know,
huffed. Is she thinking like backgammon or something? Or?
Well, it was more like maybe by a stretching table type thing.
Oh, fair enough.
To like, you know, recover and don't go on a run 6 days a week. And so I started thinking about it, and my wife is related to Kevin Patterson, who
right.
Kevin, in my opinion, is a local cycling legend.
For sure.
I think he's been riding bikes as long as you have, Teddy.
Oh, around the same time. Probably even longer. But I remember our first ride that
I think it was around the same time.
REI. You rode REI right. with us.
I remember your first REI ride.
I very vividly. You and your wife were, you two are probably the only two I remember very vividly talking to from that ride.
Because we were nice to you?
Yes, you were. And you asked me my name and you talked to me for... which is another great example of the cycling community that you're a part of, that you've helped build in Des Moines. But anyways, I talked to Kevin at a family event, and I said, hey, you know, Peyton wants me to get into something different. I know you're really big into bikes, and I used to make fun of him relentlessly at family events. Because he shaved his legs. Now, Kevin, I'm going to send this to him so he can listen to it, and hopefully he gets to this point. I still make fun of him because he wears Keen sandals, you know, the closed toe, open air Keen sandals with cargo shorts and button up, you know, funny looking plaid t-shirts.
He's not really old enough to wear that, is he?
No, he's not. He's like 43.
You might be becoming your dad if
he's 40.
And I still make fun of him for it because he is obsessive about his sock length and his sleeve length. And so he's got the worst tan lines out of any cyclist I know. And I'm a little different. I like sleeveless. I like short socks. I'm not into that part of cycling yet. I know that eventually maybe I might get there and I get made fun of for it. But I still make fun of him for it, and I made fun of him relentlessly for it. And so he sold me his son's bike, who was 16 at the time, who was already 6 inches taller than me. And so I bought his old bike for, I think, $250. And
to Hayden?
Yep, Hayden's bike.
Shift, Hayden. No kidding. Big ring, Hayden. Big ring.
It was a cyclocross bike. It was an old Cannondale Cat X. Don't even know what the year was. Put road tires on it. Started riding road with Kevin every once in a while. And it was a once-a-week type thing, and then a twice-a-week. And then I came on the first REI ride. I think it was the Labor Day ride was the first. No, Memorial Day was my first REI.
All right, holiday.
Yep. Scared
coffee,
the crap out of
coffee
me.
Coffee pace.
Yeah, scared the crap out of me. You know, riding with 60 people, never ridden or been riding bikes for 3 weeks. And then I started racing cyclocross in the fall. Really loved it. That was my first race was cross races, which is how I fell in love with cross and still am in love with cross. And then the next year, bought a road bike, and the rest was kind of history. I've been obsessed with it ever since. And my wife would say, you know, I told you to find something that will take less time than running. Yeah. And I got into cycling, which takes four times as long.
Four times as
running. But the benefits are insurmountable. I mean, you just can't list how many good things have come from that decision 3 years ago. So, and now I'm here, riding alongside my buddy Teddy.
Finishing 19th and 20th.
I can't believe it's only been 3 years, my friend.
It feels like it's been longer than that.
It does feel like it's been longer. I can't believe it's only been 3 years. I feel like I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
Please understand when my daughter, who's 22 now, sees pictures of me and this dude, right? She's like, Dad, he's my age.
right.
And I'm like, Leda, he's 5 years older. And he races bikes.
He's one of us. That's got to add some years, right?
I think it does. I honestly think Rafe, who's 15, I think Rafe hanging... Brody Burnham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brody, and he was on the pod. He's racing collegiately right now. And he started out as a 10-year-old little pudgy kid. Race Like a Girl at Union Park.
Yeah.
And always showed up. He always showed up, always showed up. His parents were huge support. And he's a super mature 21-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because he grew up with
adults. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would consider Brody a friend, and he's younger than my youngest kid.
Right.
My parents were always, I'm the youngest of five. And we're talking 18 years between my brother. And then I had three sisters and me. So I've always been around older people. My parents were always older. And so I was around older parents all the time growing up. And I think whether it's my occupation or whether it's biking or I'm not even attempting to try to be a mentor to anybody. I just like the energy of this community. And I think in Des Moines, we got it big.
Mm-hmm.
We are addicted.
I agree.
Now the family balance
group rides 6 or 7 days a week.
When I say when I say Des Moines, I mean all Central Iowa.
Yeah.
Everybody wants more. In Lincoln, alternatively, someone a year ago, a friend of mine said he rode with two guys from Lincoln on Gravel Worlds on the 50 miler. And they were both, age aside, they were 65, 68, both of them. And they said, we're the only two doing what you guys are doing. We're the only two that do coffee rides, group rides, social on Saturday, a couple rides during the week. There's nobody else. There's no racing environment. Now, I'm just speaking from his one ride. Maybe they're not getting invited. So
who knows? I don't know what happens in other communities. I think Des Moines could be a great model for other communities.
Agreed.
Because REI ride was... No, there were only 35 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Only.
Yeah.
Only like 35 people
some
there.
Some people would die to have that.
And we are riding out of town. It's like, oh, it's kind of a small group today.
Yeah.
And there's 35 people there, and that's a small group. And I don't know how many times I said that this summer. Like, I don't know. There was a Yumi ride, and it's like, oh, only 18 people showed up. Yeah, it's kind of small today. It was,
for a 6 a.m. ride.
Yeah, for sure. And it happens. It's like, it just was like...
Yep.
Hits me that it's like, wait a minute, there's 18 people here. I would kill for an 18 person ride when everybody knows what they're doing.
Yep.
Everybody knows where this ride's going. Everybody can ride well together. Everybody's comfortable on a wheel and comfortable pulling through.
Yeah.
And it's a small ride. Mm-hmm. And that happens all the time. Coffee ride on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
REI ride on Saturday mornings. And yep. The Tuesday Night Worlds is like, there's only 45 guys this week.
Yeah.
Holy crap, there's 45 guys and we're like riding until our eyes bleed. It's amazing. Yep.
I will say one of the things that I've even received feedback from, there's a guy who came up here from Denton, Texas to race in the Cat 3-4 Crit Series earlier in August. None of us recognized him. You know, we start talking to him in the middle of the race, ask him who he is, you know, thanks for coming up. And... you know, we've raced Waterworks a million times.
Right.
All of us have. And we get done with the race. I can't remember what place he got, probably like fourth or fifth. And we're talking to him afterwards, and he says, you guys have no idea what you have. He was number one praising Waterworks Park. And
I actually love racing there because there's no corners and
right,
no hills.
Right.
But
that's and he just was like, me. You guys, this is an awesome race circuit, and we complain about it, you know, everyone. We always have to race Waterworks, but we're lucky to have something that you can so easily close off and
yep.
is safe. The pavement's good. There's no sharp turns, except maybe one or two if you do the whole thing.
Sure.
But he's talking about how great the race was, and then he said, and you guys are just so nice compared to the races that I do in Texas, because he's from Texas. And he's like, you know, people are shouting, yelling at you, you know, it, yelling at you to pull, and if you do one thing wrong, you get your head ripped off. He goes like, you guys are just so kind here. And that's what I experienced 3 years ago. I can still remember when I first started riding, because it wasn't that long ago. And I didn't know anything about riding in a peloton. I didn't even know what the word peloton meant. And
right.
I didn't know what it was like to rotate, or what it was like to pull through, or how to echelon when the wind is going a different direction, and then how to switch if you needed to. And everybody's just so kind about teaching you the ways and very politely telling you, hey, this might have been a little weird. You want to make sure you do this next time. And, you know, I've tried to adapt that when I see
you do a great
identify
job.
New cyclists, because I know how that was done for me 3 years ago. Yeah. And, you know, still to this day, I get told, hey, maybe you should do this a little bit differently. And that's great.
Yep.
That's from D, right?
Yes. D all. Well, actually, earlier
D
this year...
D stuck in your armpit.
It did happen. I chased a goose, and a goose flew towards her, and oh. I had to be told, don't ever do that again.
Oh, man. That's kind of funny.
But anyway, yeah, we have such a great community here. People are so kind and welcoming to outsiders.
Yeah.
You see so many of the same people in various groups. Jackson and I kind of have ridden 515 and you, me a lot. Jackson's helped really big time this year with you, me to help with a lot more than just riding. I mean, but he's the leader of the A group, and so he is really responsible for our route design and leading those route designs
to Thompson safety. I thought John Thompson was.
J-Dub, Jackson Webster. It's been a great first-year partnership, and at the end of the day, with everything going on, he's jumped in and played a large role in making our rides safer. We've had a lot of route design changes this year with the construction that hopefully in 2025 will be amazing in the spring, but Jackson was instrumental in that, and it's just incredible. Super fun, great cycling community. Can't even put words in it. I wanted to make sure to mention, and I don't know how long we're going to go here today, but you and Dee have been a big part of this for me and dozens of others. Your constant face being in the biking community, Dee riding so many rides, 515, Sakari, you, same thing. You were one of the first ones I rode with, kind of like a Kevin Patterson to me, if I had a Kevin Patterson, that you were my kind of my Kevin Patterson.
I was, and working you were chasing together. Me. Well, caught me and passed me.
Well, no, I just remember so many times, like, you know, I would get all excited and I would get out around on a rotation, and you finally slowed down. Ted, when you get around to the front, you got to drop it just a titch.
That's right.
Or we're going to destroy you, and you won't see us the rest of the day. Yep. And so you learn,
that's funny.
Well, some of that, or we're going to come around hard and you're not going to see us the rest of the day. I remember that in the early rides, I was feeling like, oh, I'm riding off the front. Ted's up here by himself. Well, how long did I sit there by myself?
Yeah.
Like 30 seconds, a minute. And you guys were just kind of waiting to see how long is Teddy going to stay up
there. We're leaving him out there.
And we're just going to let him hang. And so you learn that lesson early. Dave Mabel was the first I learned that from.
Aww.
And real stuff. And, you know, just straight talk. You know, you don't need to throw a screen pass backwards to play that game. You just tell a person straight talk, and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doesn't need to be soft, doesn't mean harsh, but it needs to be firm.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. I love kind of passing on 40 years of racing bikes. And I'm not, like, this is obviously a commercial for Des Moines, and everybody's welcome to move to Des Moines and join our group. But what I would love is, like, to be able to go to Austin or be able to go to, we just had a kid move to Colorado Springs. I'd love to take my bike to Colorado Springs and join Chris Melman and their crew. I mean, there's a bunch of people who live in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Name the community, Rochester, Minnesota, or the Twin Cities, or Madison, Wisconsin. Like, it'd be super fun to, like, know that these experiences exist, and you can throw your bike in your car when you go to Madison and join the 6:15 a.m. ride and be welcomed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not be, oh, we're going to drop that dude. Yeah. He's new.
Yeah. Right.
You know, which I feel like can happen.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely, I can.
Hopefully we're obviously we would welcome people like, it's super fun to have Marissa and Matt Zimmer. And I saw Megan Niesler today.
Did you?
I'm literally working at a house south of Martinsdale on a gravel road, and I see somebody ride by in a DNA kit. And I'm like, there's only one human in Iowa that's going to be riding gravel in a DNA kit today.
No kidding.
And it was Megan Niesler. Yeah,
that's
for
sure.
So we definitely have some, like, top talent here. But
yeah, and I will say about the folks who are the top talent, they... You know, I ride with Matt pretty frequently, and he does not make you feel belittled
for not
being able to ride at his level. Yeah. I mean, he could ride laps around every single person in Iowa, if he wanted to, and he doesn't because he wants it to be enjoyable for everybody. And, you know, I ride Tuesdays with him, and he's never sprinting at the front. He's never riding us all off his wheel. He makes it enjoyable for us around him, and he kind of makes you feel a little bit better when you know, oh, hey, I stuck with the pro for a while.
Right.
When in the back of my mind, I know he's probably going at 60%.
If that.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. But it him along with Marissa and some people who could be pro that aren't, that are super strong, they do such a good job of not making you, they don't remind you all the time that they're ridiculously strong
for sure
in comparison to you.
I gotta tell you, on Tuesday night, before we, as we roll out of town, I'm like, Zimmer, my goal is to make it to Casey's. And he's like, I got you. Like, yeah. Stick on my wheel.
Yeah,
I was like,
right. All right. Exactly.
Yep. All right.
See, it's, it's having those advocates out there. Yep. It's like Jackson and I having each other in Worlds, or it's, Des Moines travels well, mm-hmm. right? I don't care who it is, if it's Yuli or you or Jackson, this or one of 30 other people, we travel well. And when we see familiar faces at races, it just gives you that comfort level. You're like, gosh, if I get in a bind out there, I think they're gonna be really good.
Somebody's got
my
back.
They're gonna be really good to me. They don't need to fix my flat. They don't need to fix, but they're gonna be favorable to me. And regardless of teams.
Yep.
Kind of this Des Moines, Central Iowa community.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you guys, I can't see how long we've been going, but it's probably been over an hour, and it's been super enjoyable. Yeah. And I'm thankful to Dee that Dee's like, you got to talk to Jackson and Teddy about their gravel world. And she set this up. So thanks to you guys. Thanks to Dee for setting it up.
Thank you.
I don't know. Where are we going next?
It's been fun.
Teddy's Cross. No, well, Teddy's doing what?
Let me tell you, Cross is here for you.
Cross
and me.
Is here.
Cross is coming, as some might say, but Cross is here. First race in 2 weeks, right? Capital City Cross?
I think up in Cedar Falls they've got a race this weekend. Yeah,
Twisted?
Yep. But
is that
Capital
Cross?
City Cross, 21st, 22nd, Des Moines, Iowa.
So Cross is here for you and me.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I'm going to training in Denman's, but Teddy over here, he's got a big race yet.
What are you doing?
We after the Hawks recover from this past weekend, I can't remember what happened, but either way,
I think a field goal.
We
5 seconds left.
We go over to Iowa football games. But within that,
wait, wasn't that in Iowa City? Just checking.
Iowa City was so fun. But so Georgette and I, my wife Georgette and I, are going to go to the Big Sugar in Bentonville, and we're gonna bring in a little tourism element. So we're gonna go early, and I'm gonna do the Big Sugar. Big Sugar race. Lifetime Big Sugar. Obviously not the elite, not the pro.
He'll be up there with Keegan, probably.
I'll probably. Well, I'll see D before we start, and I think Austin, perhaps. I'm not sure. But we're excited to see that area of the country and tour Bentonville, and there's some really neat art. I'm understanding.
Have you been to Bentonville?
I've never been to Bentonville.
Oh, dude.
And
he's got a list for you.
Sure. If you like art, for sure.
I'll get
for
the list. Sure. Georgette's really, really big into this art and installation with the Bentonville, the Walton
family. Yep.
Yeah. So a lot of investment
the mom
out there.
Was big time into art. She, the Crystal Museum, Crystal.
You have that kind of money. You have to get into something.
For sure.
Right?
For sure. So, no, Bentonville's awesome.
So what's keeping me busy is trying to get my pitching wedge to be able to hit 220 yards. You know. When I think about this, 100K, 78 miles, a good mid. This is 100 mile, 7,000 maybe.
I was going to remind you, like, you know, it's in the Ozark Mountains, right?
Yeah.
Those gravel roads, they don't bulldoze those mountains.
I know.
When they build a gravel road.
But I do hear the gravel is pretty good.
I hear it's pretty good, and I don't think it's as hilly as you could.
Yeah, my team does training camp down in Arkansas, and they love the gravel there. Wow. Yeah. I absolutely love it. But they ride road bikes on the gravel. They
good
know,
for them.
It's a cool area. I love it down there.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
For sure.
But we'll see. You know, at the end of the day, like, if things don't work out, I know I can go back, have lunch with Georgette, call it a day. Yep. And then we just signed up for the post-race event yesterday. It's like a rave, alcohol-free.
Oh.
Alcohol-free rave. And but you can buy your own beer and things, so it sounded like a fun dance and things like that. And I told Georgette, and she didn't really have a reaction. Like, it's gonna be that night, so it's gonna be Saturday night. And I said, we're staying overnight Saturday night, right? Oh yeah, we're staying. So we're gonna drive it all back on Sunday.
Cool. It's not that far.
There we go. October 19th.
We'll see if we can't convince Teddy to hop on his cross bike for a race or two this fall.
It's good for you, Teddy.
It is.
It's good for your skills.
It is good.
It is very good for your skills.
I better go no comment on that one. I like the Iowa State game. you guys are fun.
Fair enough.
I love it.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Thanks so much to Teddy and Jackson for being willing to share their story. I also got to thank one of my early supporters, Chain and Spoke Coffee, for letting us use the back room of the shop for this conversation. And where this story continues, as you heard us discuss the great cycling community in central Iowa, we're getting together the whole morning cycling community at Chain and Spoke Coffee this Friday afternoon to celebrate a wonderful season of riding with pizza and beer. I dare say one of the things that I hope many of you get out of this episode is the value of spending time off the bike with the people who you only know on the bike, whether for coffee, pizza, beer, whatever. I would encourage all of you listening to invite everyone on your group ride to finish the ride at a happy hour or a park and order some pizza. Our cycling community is so much deeper than two wheels. Okay, I'm done with my rant, and I hope you all enjoy your week of riding, and I'm excited to invite you to tune in next week to hear from Jenna Reinhart and her journey from a small Midwest ski area to the Lifetime Grand Prix, and even on to Belgium and the UCI Gravel World Championships. Again, we'll see you next week, and I hope you remember that nothing compares to the simple pleasure of a bike ride.